Hi, welcome to Surviving What's Next podcast. This podcast is for women who crave real talk, no filters, and no judgment. If you don't have a place where you can just be you, then this is it. My team and I pride ourselves on being open and honest. This podcast will be packed with cautionary tales and real life stories. We will discuss topics such as life, love, divorce, sex, online dating, kids, mental health, and bad mom stories, just to name a few. Like everyone else, we are trying to survive what's next. Welcome to another episode of Surviving What's Next. This is episode 3, Let's Talk About Sex, Sexual Fantasies. Today on the panel, we have Lucy.
Hello.
Allie.
Hey.
Heather.
Hi.
And Tony.
Hello.
Today, we're going to discuss these fun issues. These are one of our favorite topics to talk about. But today we're going to talk about the rule of three, fantasies, and communicating with your partner. And we're going to start with Lucy. Tell us about the rule of three.
Okay, so we have adapted a rule of three that was actually brought up by one of our admins. And basically it's try something 3 times instead of once. And then if you still don't like it, it's really not for you.
That's interesting.
One thing that I tried more than once was obviously my first time having sex was not that great, as it is with most people. But if I had given up on sex after that first time, I wouldn't be where I am right now with too many children. So, you know, obviously I tried it again with somebody else and lo and behold, it was better. I actually did like it. So sometimes you got to try things more than just once to get a real opinion of it.
I like that. My first time, I agree with you. If I had to base everything on my first time, I probably wouldn't have done it again. It was in a little bitty Geo hatchback in the front seat, and he was like 6'6". It was not a good experience for the first time. I never thought that I would do it in a car, but, you know, I was 20, and I was like, we got to get this done, so... I agree with you 100% on that. That was not one that I would want to repeat more than once. But I also didn't want to do rule of three with that one either. So it's a win-win, really.
Tony, is there a time that you've applied the rule of three in your life?
Probably doing anal. Because the first time I did it, it was like, it hurt. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't relaxed enough. And I was like, nope, never doing that again. And then I tried it again. And then it was okay. I was quite drunk, so I was a lot more relaxed and it felt better. And then the third time, obviously, I initiated that time. And I think because it was my choice and I wanted to try it, I actually enjoyed it more. So, and now I wouldn't like, anal is something like I've got to be in the mood for now. And I will do it when I want to do it. If my partner wants to do it and I'm not up for it, I'm genuinely like, no, I don't want to do it. Just, you know, I've got to be in the mood for it. But yeah, that's my third rule of three on that one.
Okay, let me just say that I wasn't prepared for us to go straight to anal.
That's what she said.
That is what she always says. I love you and you go, girl. Thought we were going to try to ease our way into it. Well, so, she went straight to anal. Straight there. Straight into like,
we don't take the easy way out around
and
here.
And she was just like, I know. And you should, my God. I'm going to need a minute. Just a second. But that was awesome. Thank you, Tony, for sharing that. Yeah, I'm ruined for the rest of the episode. So y'all just, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, I know that a rule of three for me was BDSM, specifically finding out what my role would be in playing that.
Wait, hold on. Explain what that is.
BDSM is bondage and submission, and it has varying levels where it's just lightly, you know, like a little handcuffs against the bed, maybe a little blindfold and, you know, tied up, little scarves and stuff, and then you can get really hardcore. I would not advise Googling this unless you really want to know and you have some privacy. But there's varying levels to it, and most people start off as submissives, where they're the ones that things are being done to. And it's very freeing that way. It's very liberating, because if you're very in control and very used to type A personality, where you're used to making all the decisions, it's very liberating because you don't have to make the choices. It's someone making those choices for you, and you get to just sit there and enjoy the pleasure and a little bit of pain too. But it's like little spanks and stuff, and it depending on what your pleasure is. And then there's being a dominant, where you're the one making all the choices for how the pleasure's going to go.
Or the pain.
Or the pain. And some people take it to extremes, and some people are slightly flirt with it. And that's the thing, is you have to trust your partner to really play the games. And then there's finding out what you really are. And in my case, I found out I was a switch flip. I'm a very dominant switch flip, which means I can play the role of submissive or dominant, but I had to, you know, apply the rule of three before I figure out what the hell I was and if I would even enjoy it, because being a submissive the first time, I'm not used to somebody telling me what to do, okay? That's just not. But once, you know, I learned how to relax, it was very, very enlightening.
Right. I feel that in my soul. I've met a lot of people and I've seen a lot of things. And when I say that I don't judge people on their sexual choices and that kind of stuff, I find it all intriguing. I could not do a lot of it just because of me and my personality, but I'm so intrigued by all of it. Like, I want to see it all. I want to know about it all. And who knows, one day I might wake up and just be in the mood to, you know, strap on the leather or something or another. You know what I mean? Like, I don't judge anything with that kind of stuff. I think it's fascinating and almost a little jealous that I'm not into it more than I think I should be. Go ahead, Tony.
I'm a switch as well. I can either be dominant or submissive.
I want to be a switch.
But yeah, I'm kind of like, there's got to be a lot of trust in what you're doing. And
absolutely.
I still, when I'm more submissive, I'm still got that tiny, tiny bit of control there, because I know what I like. And sometimes you've got to really let go to be a submissive. You've got to be able to just let go and trust in that person, that they know what they're doing. They know, you know, what they want to do to you. But also I find sometimes, like, my partner will say to me, right, do this. And I'm still like, mm-mm, nope, I don't want to do that. And that's not being submissive.
Right.
Okay? That's not being submissive. That's completely letting go, you know?
Absolutely. And that's one of those things that I found, a lot of people have fantasies about BDSM, especially since 50 Shades of Grey was released, both the book and the movie.
We're not and even going there.
And that's a whole nother topic. But what people don't realize is, yes, the dominant is the one making the choices and is in most of the control, but at the end of the day, the submissive is the one who ultimately controls how far the games go. They're the ones who have you have to have that trust, not only with your partner, but with the situation. And you have to know what you're comfortable with. But it's also a good way to test some of your boundaries that you weren't sure of before. My significant other is not, never experienced it. And he, with me, he has started to learn how to get used to some of the stuff I'm into. And he's actually grown to figure out some of the things that he's good with and some of the things he's not good with. We found out that, he likes bondage, light bondage, hard bondage. He does not like any type of, I want to say, light slapping or spanking is cool, but we're not going to take it farther than that. He's starting to learn where his boundaries are. So, I mean, it's a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think when I was with when I was married before, there was a lot of trust there, and so we did experiment quite a bit, and it was fun. We had some fun, but now that I'm single, I haven't found anyone that I like would put that much trust into. So it's kind of like I would like to be a little more adventurous, but I just haven't found somebody to do that with yet. And so, that can be a bummer. Next topic is fantasies. Lucy?
Well, fantasies are very personal, and they can certainly vary from one person to another based on their individual desires. Not everyone has the same fantasies, but just about everyone has fantasies nonetheless, hence the wide array of topics that you can find on porn sites. What are some of your favorite, darkest, most adventurous fantasies? Tony?
I find this one a hard one, really. And that sounds a bit funny because, when my partner sometimes we're lying in bed and he wants to make it a bit more fun, and he'll say to me, what are you thinking about? Tell me something that you want to do. And I just go blank. Sometimes I really do. I go blank. I'm just like, you put me on the spot. I don't know.
Wait, Tony, I hate to interrupt you, but oh my God, I thought I was the only one. I swear to God. When my friend, when he asks me that, always, it's not that I get annoyed, but I'm like, what? I go blank, completely blank, knowing just a minute ago I was fantasizing about having his dick in my mouth. He asked me, it's out the window. I can't, I got nothing. And then, then I look like an old maid, I'm boring and shit. And I'm so glad you said that because I really thought it was just me. God, I wonder how other many women do that.
I mean, sometimes when I was thinking about, this earlier on, I was thinking one of my probably ones that pops up a lot is where I'm in work and my partner, it'll be a busy night and he'll just come in and he'll say, oh, can I talk to you for a minute? And we'll go into the cellar and just have sex over the barrels.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, please. I'll have a side of that. Yes.
And then we'll have a quickie in there and it'll literally be a quickie. And then we'll come out and we'll be flustered and oh, thank you.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And I was trying to think about any other ones, but, stuff doesn't really stick in my head. I kind of think about things and I go, oh, I wonder, and then it's gone.
I have a question. Do you do like research? I know that sounds silly, but does anybody do research, like, you know, little Pornhub, little, what? I'll tell you what, for me, I have one that's just an old time favorite of mine. And I don't think even in my 80s and 90s that I will ever give it up. But when I watch a really hot movie, just a regular movie with real hot scenes, or when I read a book with very sexually described scenes and stuff like that, like, oh my God, I get so horny. And I'm like, oh, that might be fun, or that could be interesting.
I'm glad you mentioned books, because my significant other, he's not big into communication. So every once in a while he'll get this stroke of genius and he'll start texting dirty while he's at work about what he wants to do, what he'd love like that. To do. Love that. And I love it. And every once in a while, and just to interact with him, I'm like, show me. And, you know, sometimes he goes to the bathroom or disappears for a second and I get a nice picture.
Aww.
But and I return the favor at work when I'm at work as well. But what I like to do with the books is sometimes I'll see like a particular one. I'm like, whew, that sounds.
Yeah.
We haven't done that in a while. Or, ooh, I wonder how that one would work.
I agree.
And so what I'll do is I'll read the passage and I'll copy paste if it's, you know, ebook, and I'll copy paste and I'll change the name for it. It's a little bit more personal to us.
Oh.
With things that are for us, and I'll just quickly ting just
I
off
have
to him.
Not done that.
And you know, I'll be honest, that's some of the way we've enjoyed ourselves with quite a few maneuvers.
That's interesting. I've never done that before. I will put that in my hat too for later.
Just saying. But use ebooks to our advantage.
I see, said the blind man. I got you. I have a fantasy that I have always had. My partner and I would go to the strip club, and there's just something about the atmosphere of a strip club. You know, it's dark and the lights and the, you know, leather couches and the waitresses and everything, and just the girls dancing and this whole other world that you don't get, you know, you don't see it all the time. You don't do it all the time. And just being there with him and like not wanting him not trying to go home with anybody or me trying to go home with anybody, but just us being there and being completely turned on and touching each other and getting a lap dance. And when I say that, I mean me. I want the lap dance. I don't care really what he wants. I want the lap dance. And him watching and, you know, just being sensual and sexual with another woman. I mean, I just think that is so hot. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks that, but it always just gets me going. It's one of my favorite things ever. What about you, Heather?
One of my fantasies that we haven't done yet is I personally would like to show up at his job, because he works in a very, very secure and public job. Right. And I would love to just be able to show up there dressed in heels with nothing on underneath. And he's got a favorite little red dress I like to wear for him. And personally, I'd like to just put on a show in front of God and everybody. That's just my personal thing. And maybe invite, you know, a fellow partner, be it male or female, because, you know, I would prefer, you know, either or. He'd prefer. He's actually told me one of his fantasies that he would like to see us actively involved with strictly just another male and himself from both ends.
Nice. So that's very open. I like that. I like it. I was talking to Lucy earlier, and I've never had like a real fantasy in the past about two guys in a threesome. I've had a threesome with two girls, but I've, up until now, I never really thought about having two guys, but now it's very intriguing to me. It's very interesting. I don't know if I'll actually ever do it, but
highly recommend.
Yeah. See, and before, I don't know if it's because I was like just in that headspace, you know, with my husband, my ex-husband, or what, it never really crossed my mind, but now all of a sudden the wheels are shifting and I would actually really like to experience that maybe one day.
I will be honest. I've experienced it before, but my husband was not a participant mm-hmm. in the action. He was an observer. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, it was turned him on so much that after the event, it turned him on so much that we went for round three and with ourselves. And I mean, it was a definite eye opener. So now he wants to actively participate in the next event.
Anybody notice that it went from round one straight to round three? Anybody catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is, and this is a very simple fantasy, and I've never done it, and I'm going to do it, but I want to watch. I want to watch. Now, here's the deal, though. What was presented to me was I asked my friend if he would have sex with someone so that I could watch. And when I said that, I assume that he knew what I meant, but I was thinking, you know, because like I will get off while you're doing that, like it would turn me on. It's a thing that I want to do. And he was so worried that I was going to murder both of them during the course of it that I think he's a little freaked out. I'm like, why would I try to kill you if I'm asking you to do this, you know, but that is it better to watch your partner, your boyfriend, whatever, your husband, is it better to watch that or watch a couple that you're not emotionally connected to? Well, see, that's strong.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, I've been in this situation plenty of times, and when you're sat there watching your partner, husband's, you know, girlfriend, whatever it is, with another woman, you can sit there for 5-10 minutes and watch, and it is so fucking hot. It is amazing. But the longer you're sat there, the more you want to join in. I mean, unless you're a proper voyeur where you just want to sit and watch and enjoy it and you get off on that. But I found in my experiences, majority of the time, I've always joined in. I've always ended up joining in, not just watching, but joining in.
So, okay, that's what I was going to say. That was my next question. Did you get through the whole thing with just watching? I've had a threesome and it's not for me.
Rule of three.
I got two more, two more to go, but you're right. I have to remember that. But there's just something that like, I am so fascinated and I just want to watch, but he did have a valid point. First time doing it, should I watch him or maybe watch another couple?
I'll be 100% honest.
Yeah.
Don't plan it. Do not plan it. If you plan it, you will be so inside your head. You'll freeze.
That's a good point.
And I've always approached sex with it's terrible to say this, but a very laissez-faire attitude. Like I'm going to go with what feels good. It's one of the reasons I found out I am a bisexual. I enjoy it and don't apologize for it. My husband totally loves, he's a guy, so of course.
That's not much of a
he's a guy. But more than that, he realized during the course of our sexual escapades, he's realized that he actually truly enjoys just watching me, and whether it be a male or female. If you try to plan your experience, it's not going to go well. Just go into it with a couple of quick rules. You say the rule of three. I'll say when you go into something like this, there's just three basics, maybe four, depending on how trusting you are in your partner. Mm-hmm. Number one, you have to be brutally honest. Mm-hmm. If you're not brutally honest about how you feel, what your expectations are before you go, if you don't know where each other's boundaries are, it's going to get into a gray area and it's not going to end up well.
I have a question. I feel like from Pretty Woman, you know, Hooker from Pretty Woman, do you allow the kissing? Is that like a sensual thing? Like, is that off limits?
For me personally, because of, I'm not going to say that all swingers or all polyamorous people are STD prone or anything, but I'm just saying sex is a high risk activity in this day and age. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know who you're going into this with, I personally, my husband and I personally, we do not kiss. That's something for us because I'm sorry, when we're fucking, and I say it just like that because it's not sex to us. It's not making love. We're not forming intimate connections with these people. We're enjoying a feeling and a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
When it's intimacy and love and that stuff, that's between us. But for us, kissing is off of the bounds because so many things are transmitted through the mouth. So much stuff.
I wasn't talking about that side of it, you dingus, but I know what you're saying.
For us, that's my whole thing about engaging in these
activities. It's not about kissing being sexual. You just don't want him to get herpes on his mouth.
It's the same. Same. Right. It's the same thing for me. I don't, yeah. Dental dams, condoms. I'm not taking a risk with my life just for a 30-second feeling.
Tali, do y'all kiss? Is there kissing?
If it is somebody that we're close with, a good friend, then yes.
Okay.
Because I have a very good friend of mine who we now and again we have a threesome and we kiss all the time.
Y'all both kiss her? I mean, everybody does.
Yeah. But if it was somebody that we don't really know, then no, I'd say no. No kissing.
Okay. This is interesting, especially for those listening that have never considered that. It's always been a thought for me, you know, how if my partner and I were doing this, where are some limits or hard no's, you know? I would think kissing would be very sensual and it may, I don't know. I'm just worried about where it goes with that.
What about Allie's one of her fantasies? Because I know Allie's slightly different from the rest of us.
Allie's our vanilla disaster.
Well, my fantasies are quite a bit more vanilla than yours are. I would say one of my biggest I did have a fantasy and I did try to fulfill it, but ended up getting busted. So one of my fantasies was to be in a packed bar and me and my significant other go into a back alley, go behind a dumpster and do our thing. Well, we did, but we planned it on the worst time possible. It was during a huge festival that we had in town and we got busted by the cops.
So are you gonna try again?
Well, rule of three, right?
Yes,
absolutely. You got two more dumpsters.
There's more than one dumpster in this town behind bars. So I guess I've got two more to go. But another one actually stems from jealousy. So I don't know about you guys. And Stacey, you had mentioned this earlier in the podcast that being in a dark bar and just, you know, seeing your husband or your spouse or whatever kind of not getting it on, but
what's being aroused.
Yeah.
Being
turned on by, you know, you receiving a lap dance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys watch Sons of Anarchy,
mm-hmm.
but there is one episode where Tara walks in on Jax, and Jax, there's a girl that hangs around the clubhouse quite a bit, and she's a stripper, she's hot, she's, you know, blonde hair, big boobs, whatever, the complete opposite of Tara. And this chick wants Jax. It's very clear. And Tara took offense to that. She got extremely jealous and she got pissed off at Jax, took him into a back room, slammed him against the wall and took him right there while said chick walked in on them. And she's staring this girl down while Jax is basically taking her. That right there is a huge turn on for me.
Oh yeah.
So sure. Even just being in a bar and seeing somebody come up to my significant other, he's not ugly.
So, no, he's not. No, he's not.
So, and I haven't seen that yet. I've asked him, you know, how often do you get hit on in the bar and da da da. Well, he's not going to tell me. So I want to put that theory to the test.
I think you should. This. I think that's an excellent idea. You now have your next homework assignment.
Considering I failed my last one.
I don't remember. Okay, that's a whole nother episode. We're going to get into that, though. Don't worry about it. Okay, so now let's move on to communicating with your partner about said fantasies. Lucy has a wonderful idea that her and her husband do. Lucy, tell us about your fabulous idea.
Okay, so like most couples, talking about sex can be kind of awkward sometimes, and especially when you're getting into fantasies, because there's a lot of fantasies out there that you think your partner will never go for. They'd get jealous, or you know, they're going to think you're crazy or you're a weirdo, anything along those lines. But if you take a look at porn, there are so many different subjects out there. These wouldn't exist if other people didn't have these fantasies. It's just plain and simple fact. It wouldn't be on the internet if people weren't into it. So one thing that my husband and I came up with to kind of spice up our love life is we keep a notebook. Now, in this notebook, we've written down our hard limitations, our soft limitations, and fantasies. And we'll describe in great detail different fantasies that we have, and we'll just write it in the notebook. And then leave it for the other one to read at their leisure. And the other person can make notes like, oh, I like this idea, or maybe, but if we take this part out. And it's just a way to open up communication without the awkward sex talk feeling. We also will go in and put notes like, oh, that thing we tried last night, I really liked it. Or, hey, that was nice, but I didn't like this part. And it helps you to really get to know your partner better. And as you progress, you get into more of the deeper, darker fantasies and the things that you thought you'd be judged on. 9 times out of 10, turns out they're thinking the exact same thing, but don't want to bring it up because they think you'll get mad. So it really is a great tool to help spice up sex life, communicate fantasies, and just get to know each other on a much more intimate level.
I think this is a fantastic idea. There's just something about writing something down to where, for me, like when I write stuff down, I remember more. I don't know if that makes sense, but when I'm talking, so many things are going on in your head at one time that you're bound to leave something out. But when you're writing, you take your time and you get everything, write everything down that you can possibly think of. And I think that is an excellent idea. I think everyone should do that.
And that's where we go back to being blank. Like
exactly.
When your partner asks you like about a certain fantasy or what are you thinking about, what do you want to do, and you just go blank. And then I think having writing it down, at least you can go back to that and go, oh, I thought about this the other day. maybe we can try this, or we can put some kind of spin on this, or, you know. So yeah, that would help with the getting kind of put on the spot, I suppose.
That is true. That is a good, that is a great point. I didn't even think about that. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I love that idea so much.
It's also really good if, you know, you hit one of those dry spells where you just kind of aren't in the mood lately. Go back, read the notebook, and you'll come out of that funk real quick. Like, I'm not going to lie. After doing the outline for this episode and going back through our notebook to, you know, see kind of what was in there, my husband's totally getting laid tonight.
I know, that's right. Absolutely.
See, that's one of those things where for my spouse and I, we, because our working shifts are literally polar opposites, so we're literally passing ships in the morning with a quick booty pat as I'm heading to the truck. He's getting a quick booty pat as he's heading into the house to go simmer down for the day. That's one of those things that for us, where we're texting each other for the day, and because we do it in Messenger and on our phones and texting, I mean, it keeps that communication, so it's a constantly evolving thing. We're able to scroll back and look, oh, that's something we haven't tried yet, but, you know, he said he might be up for. And it's just one of those things that works. But, I mean, I've had, and this is going to sound absolutely terrible. In college, I was dating a woman, and we had a grocery list, but that's what we put our fantasies, things that we saw or heard about, and we wanted to try. It was literally a grocery list on the refrigerator.
That's cool.
I was in college. And as we finished, as we did something, or we crossed it out, or if we said, ooh, that didn't really work, so we'd write like a little remark underneath that, something we could improve on between the two of us for next time.
So basically you graded your own grocery list.
Pretty much.
And I cannot with you.
But it's different.
It's kind of like a sexual bucket list though, isn't it?
It was, but it's also one of those things that not all partners are the same. So you kind of have to know.
That's true.
I mean, I think the notebook is a fantastic idea. And if I actually had the time, I'd probably start one, maybe. But for us, like, the text messages and, you know, the chats work for us. But for others, I mean, if the grocery list works for you, cool, try it. I mean, I think the notebook, absolutely, is probably one of those things that's...
I think everybody should have a notebook. I'm going to have to get a boyfriend, though, so they can write back to me. But that's a whole nother episode. Okay, well, that was some interesting stuff. So what we did was we posted in our group and we asked some of the ladies what their fantasies were, and a couple of them wrote back. Lucy, you want to share yours?
Sure. One of my favorites is actually something that I stole from a friend's experience. It involves headphones on, listening to music, blindfolded and tied up, waiting for my husband to come in. The suspense of not knowing when he'll walk in and touch me and not being able to see or hear him coming is a huge turn on.
That's hot.
But then when he finally does come in and he's not alone, you feel someone else's hand on you, that just spikes it through the roof for me. I think that would be amazing.
I want to be you when I grow up.
I want to be Tony when I grow up.
Me too. Let's do that. I'm going to be you first and then we'll be Tony. We'll do it together. So we have a member said, I have no idea why, but I've always had this one. She's sitting at her desk trying to get some work done at home. Her husband comes up behind her, starts kissing her neck and slowly groping her. I love being groped. And she said, while I try to get him to stop because I'm on the phone call, he does not stop and takes her while she's on the phone. That's interesting. That's not because she can't make noise. She can't give it away. She's going to have to be quiet.
I've actually done that, and it's awesome.
I bet it is. I've had sex at work, but I've not had, not tried to get through a phone call.
Well, mine was, I was working from home, and then another, I was on the phone with my mother. And another time, I did it to my spouse, and he was on the phone with his mother.
It wasn't me, though, but I gave a blowjob to my friend while he was on the phone with work. Ooh, that counts?
That does count.
That totally counts. He was in a meeting, as a matter of fact, and he was on his headset, and I blew him during the whole meeting. Yay me, I forgot about that.
Go, Stacy. That's goals right here.
That was crazy as well, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
My significant other did that when I was on the phone ordering pizza.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. That's like a step up for you, Ali.
I love that. Good girl.
Moving toward the strawberry.
I'm telling you.
No, Neapolitan.
Exactly. Another one of our viewers, and this has got to be my favorite, because it's the little pleasures in life, the little things. I just want mine to let me lick his asshole.
Yes, whoever you are, yes. You go, girl.
Absolutely.
We need to have her on the show. We need her on the episode.
That's another one of those, you've got to be in the right mind, like, mindset to do that.
Do they have tongue condoms?
They do. They do.
Do they?
Yes, ma'am, they do.
See, if I had a tongue condom,
no.
I'd be more open. I would definitely be more open.
Tongue condom to do it.
So. I'll be honest, my spouse is very hairy. No.
See, too much information. That is too much information. I'm going to stop you right there.
I've bitten a butt cheek, but that's about as close as we get.
I'm going to stop you right there. Okay. So now let's see what another viewer says. She says, I've also had a cuck queen fantasy for a while. I'm not a jealous person, so as long as there are ground rules set and followed, it would be fun. What? Wait.
Lucy, I can explain this one.
Wait. We haven't tried anything, though. It would have to be the right time, right person. Okay. What the hell is a cuck? What is that?
Okay. So what that means is it's almost like cheating, but not cheating because both the parties know about it. So depending on how far they take it, that person's either tied down and forced to watch it happen.
But or it comes home in the middle of it and catches.
Exactly.
But then sits down and watches or joins in.
Exactly.
Not going to lie, it's one of mine too.
I'll be honest.
It's like an X-rated version of Friends or something.
I would have to say I totally forgot about that, but yeah, that would be good.
That one is high on my list.
I forgot that was even on my list.
Yeah, but he's so afraid I'm going to murder him. I don't think he would do it. And then I'd forget that we agreed to it. And then I really would kill him.
Yeah, see, that's that trust thing coming into play.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Again, my jealousy would completely take over and I'd be like, nope.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I feel you so hard on that. Really, I swear to God, I do. However, there is a line, though. I don't know. I feel like that there's a line. Like, I would not do it with my ex-husband because of the whole jealousy thing. However, you know, years later, I look back and I wish we would have tried it because I think it would have brought us closer together, and I know that sounds stupid, but that would have been just that private life for us, that we both know what we do and the things that we like and that kind of stuff, and you just don't, not everybody obviously does that, many do, but that is very intriguing to me. I don't know why. I think, y'all, are y'all ready for this? Deep down inside, I think I'm a bad girl.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, y'all don't have to agree so fucking fast. And here I'm thinking, I'm a little vanilla, but shit, maybe I'm not. What's up,
Maybe Tony? You're French vanilla.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Tony.
We have, me and my partner have a thing where if we've been on a night out to a bar or a club, and we bring somebody home, and once or twice, I've been so drunk that I've literally just gone, I'm out, and like, I'm going to bed. So my partner's like, right, what do you want me to do? You know, we've brought this person home, what are we gonna do? And I've literally had to give him permission. I give him permission. So I will text him and say, I give you permission to do what you want with this girl, basically.
And you still go to bed?
And I go to bed. But then majority of the time,
okay,
I'm up then, I'm awake, and I'm like, what am I missing? I'm fucking
missing. Yeah, okay, there it is. There
and then I go back in.
There it is.
Then I go back in.
Yeah, so
I give him permission. So,
but wait a minute, wait. Let's think about that for a minute. She's like, "Yeah, I'm just not in the mood. Yeah. You know, just go ahead, do your thing, and then that would be me. I'd be like, oh, what are they doing?
You had some serious FOMO.
Yeah, man. Then you can see it in your head, and then up, and you're hard. Your nipples are hard. It's time to go. Yeah.
So I will be honest. I've set up a dick appointment for my husband.
I'm sorry, explain.
As in, he was the dick, and I set his dick an appointment in some girl's book because I was lazy. Okay?
I hate you so much.
Look, I was lazy. I wasn't feeling it. A bitch.
No,
can be
I feel that. See, okay.
But then, but at the same time, my partner, he asked, he's like, okay, so I surprised him with it. He's like, oh, I thought we were going to get, because I'd been sending him text all day, getting him in the mood, giving him some ideas. And then I was like, I'm not in the mood, though, so I set you a dick appointment. So I'm going to go, I'll drop you off, or you can take an Uber, you can take the vehicle. I don't really care.
Time out.
Mm-hmm.
He went somewhere else without you?
Yeah, without me. But we had already had, we had experienced this person a couple times together. And here's the thing, and that's where it's weird for us, because we don't view sex the traditionally way.
Right.
For us, sex is a feeling, it's a function, it's wonderful emotions, but at the end of the day, it's not intimacy. It's not our partner. It's not love. It's a feeling.
I mean, I'm not judging you by any means. Trust me. You know I love y'all, and it's you do you. I'm just trying to think, like, I'm just trying to get the nerve up to, I don't know, stick my finger in his butt or something, and you're sending him off down the road without you, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
But here's where it comes into play with your partner.
I wish I could be that free.
But here's the thing. I was that free, but my partner was not. He even expressly said, cool. I don't feel comfortable without you there, or at least on the premises or in the house, is that I don't feel comfortable. I would prefer it if you went with me.
Right.
And he's like, what do you feel comfortable with me doing? I said, whatever you feels comfortable that you feel led to do. I'm not going to limit your sexual activity. But you know what our guidelines are, what are both of our boundaries are for each other. And that's that thing where that trust comes in. You have to be open. You have to communicate. If you do not communicate, it doesn't matter if you're in a poly relationship, a traditional male-female monogamous relationship, if you don't have those lines of communication, be they verbal, written, telepathy if it exists.
Shut up. I need you to stop being lazy.
If you don't have those, if you don't have those lines of communication, though, but to be honest, after that one time of me doing that, I understood that he did not feel comfortable without me there.
Yeah.
Well, so we found a new boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
We're the same. We, we trust each other. We're very open, but we found that anything that we do it as a couple.
I agree. See, that would be, again, you do you, I love it. You like it, it works for you, I love it. I do not judge anybody for that kind of stuff. I just keep thinking about me and I'm like, well, I wanna see. And you know what I mean? Like, if we're gonna have this special bond, is what I want. I want this special bond with someone where we can do those things where I don't have to worry about if you're just looking to date somebody else kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, us together as a team, that is the most important thing. I want somebody that I can be part of a team to do these fun things with and be adventurous and be dirty and sexy and have so much fun. But yeah, I'm with you, Tony. It would have to only be a couple's thing for me.
Well, I will say that that time I was strictly an observer that time. Nice. And then a couple times afterwards, I was like, oh, wait, why am I lazy? This is kind of...
Right.
The FOMO kicked in. And then this other time, but I will say... my laissez-faire attitude kind of backfired on me with that particular person.
Don't you hate when that happens?
And she caught feelings for... She caught feelings for the dick. And we both had to shut that shit down real fast, quick and in a hurry. And I learned that, you know, the error of my ways. Laziness is not always the best attitude because I'm not the only one who clearly enjoys his dick. So...
Okay, but this is my thought though. I'm glad you brought that up. That exact situation right there. That is why I don't know if I would want to be a part of it with someone that we know. Yeah. And I'm not saying like a total stranger, but no phone numbers exchanged, no way to reach out. We're not going to be friends on Facebook. You know, we don't need a group chat kind of thing, but is it better not to know them because to me, I don't know if it would be safer. I don't know if that's even a thing, but in my mind, if we don't know how to reach this person or if I'm the only one who has this girl's number and I make the arrangements, you know, but then, you know, it could still backfire, but I was just always curious about that.
I mean, for us personally, we have one account that's linked to both of our mobile devices, so we can literally see everything the person, each of us. So if I'm responding on our account to the person or persons, we both see it on our phone. There's no way to delete the messages. There's no way to edit or censor anything. There's no way to go behind each other's back and vice versa. But we also, I'm not running into the bitch I just fucked. Or the man I just fucked at the grocery store. That is not going to happen here.
That's exactly my point. Yeah.
We have always, you know, what we found works for us is that we've met people when we're out and about in certain clubs, or even one time we was out in public, some random person was like talking to me, and it just, the conversation evolved when we were on a date night, and you know, we started talking and we involved our spouses, and they were from the other side of the state. Mm-hmm. So we would agree after we got to know each other, you know, we made sure, you know, medical histories worked out and everything. We agreed, you know, meet at a halfway point, and we would do that a couple times a month if it was good, and if not, you know, maybe once every couple weeks or so. Whatever worked for us or whatever worked for them, and it was agreed upon thing. But it's one of those things that's just what worked for us. Other people I know actually cohabitate with theirs, and they are perfectly fine with everyone thinking they're in a roommate type situation. But for me, for us, it doesn't work for us like that. That's just too intimate, it's too personal. It's taken it just a step too far for me to be comfortable and for my spouse to be comfortable.
That I'm intrigued by that. The whole thing. That's another episode that we're going to do, and we're going to actually invite some people from the group that are in poly groups. I'm absolutely intrigued. I love it. I aspire to do that. I would so do it if You know, I think it's awesome. And not everybody agrees with me on that, but I just think it's fantastic. But now, I'm not talking about Sister Wives.
No, ma'am.
We're not even going there. But the actual real loving relationship, poly relationships, I find absolutely fascinating. And I wish I could do that. But, okay, so we're going to wrap this episode up. Guys, thank y'all for coming and hanging out with us today. So everybody stay tuned, and we will see y'all next week. Thanks.